there and let them have their own experience as they grow and learn. Or, obviously, we don't care. You can keep them in here, too. Glad they're here. That's what counts. All right. Well, by now you've gotten the idea. We're starting a new message series, right? Yeah, and it's called Jump. That's right. We're just jumping. And it fits where we are in time. You know, we're jumping into a new year. 2010 is upon us. And so it's time for us to just pause for a minute as we go into the new year and think about what is our life about in Christ. I mean, where are we headed here? And so what we're going to do over the series is just encourage you to look at your life. And obviously, we're going to encourage you to take a jump, just to take that incredible jump. And as we do that, we're making some original assumptions. And those assumptions are things like we assume that there's probably some folks in the room who are just not satisfied with life right now. It's not everything that they think it ought to be. And just know there's got to be something more. Or that there's folks that are in the room who look at their own life and feel that they're just in that proverbial rut, you know. It's just same old, same old. And as well, are questioning and wondering if life shouldn't be something more. And at the minimum, we assume that everybody is probably asking that question. And asking the question is my life everything that it's supposed to be? Is this what it's about? And we're going to try to offer you over these 4 weeks the opportunity to jump into a life that God has for you. So let's begin with the jump, right? And what you're also going to hear, by the way, is also some things that are for Christ Church. These kind of speak to our core values about what we're about here as a congregation. So the first one, you can even read it on our sign, right? It's Christ Church, and underneath it says, you read the sign? Bringing purpose to life. Thank you. Some of you guys read the sign. Thanks. I worked really hard on, geez, what word should we put on that sign so they read that and they get it? And yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's Christ Church bringing purpose to life. Well, that's because that's part of our core values, right? And we just really believe this. It's the first jump. It's just to jump and to jump on purpose. And you jump because. You jump because you just know and you believe that God has a purpose for your life. You jump because you just believe. You know. You've received that truth into your life and you understand that God has something in store for your life. I can take you to the experience of Abram, and you can see how that plays out in one individual's life. It goes back to Genesis 12, and there's some important things for us to grab from this experience. It goes back to Genesis 12, and it says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your family, your relatives, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. You'll become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you, but I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave the city of Haran. He obeyed. And he left with his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions and slaves that they had gotten while in Haran. Now, there's some important things to understand here. First of all, notice that God just simply comes to Abram. He just comes to Abram, and he is offering Abram the opportunity to just jump, right? He's just coming to Abram, and he's saying, Abram, look, here's the deal. I'm just offering you this opportunity to jump into a whole new life. And it's the life that I have dreamed and determined for you. Now, it's important for us to get from this. Notice that God did not come to Abram and interview him. He didn't come to Abram and say, now, Abram, before we make this covenant with one another, let's go over a few lists of things. You know, let's look at the list of your potentials and your possibilities as you see them. Or let's go over a list of being honest with each other and looking at all your frailties and your faults. Let's go over and see if you qualify somehow, according to some list somewhere, of whether you could possibly follow into what I have in store for you. That's absent, correct? All God does is he comes to Abram and he says, Abram, it's time to jump. Abram, it's time for you to take a step in your life into the purpose that I have for you. I have a future for you, Abram. And all you have to do is take that step and take that jump into the purpose and the future that I have for you. Now, this is important also. Notice that God did not come to Abram and say, "Now, Abram, I know you got some great dreams and you got some great ambitions, and I know you got some great plans for yourself. So let me just come alongside you and just kind of partner with you, and together we'll accomplish whatever you want, Abram." That's not what he said. Am I correct? He said, "Abram, here's the deal. You jump into what I want for you. Abram, you jump into what I have planned for you. Abram, you jump into the future and the purpose that I, the Lord God of heaven and earth, have determined before the foundations of time. This is what your life is about." Notice in the text, Abram is asked to leave behind something. Do you see that? He is asked to leave behind his country and his family and his relatives and go to the land that God will show him. What's Abram invited to? Not the dreams and ambitions that Abram had for himself. He is invited to the purpose that God has for him. You see that? And the only thing Abram has to do is just jump. Right? All he's got to do is just jump and obey. Just jump and follow what it is that God wants for his life. This happens to other people of the faith. The Apostle Paul, as we go into 1 Corinthians, he begins to try to clear up the distinction of jumping into what God wants for your life. Here's what he says to the Corinthians. "Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord." What's Paul telling us? God has a plan, a purpose for your life. And that plan and purpose is in the mysteries of God. It's not in you. That plan and purpose is greater than anything that you can imagine for yourself. It is far beyond any ambition that you could create for yourself. It is a plan and a purpose that God simply invites you to jump into. His plan and His purpose for your life. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to," what? "His plan, not our plan." You see it? He makes everything work out according to His plan. You see that? You see, we can jump. Abraham is invited to jump. Paul is invited to jump. They're invited to jump into the plan that God has for them. And we can jump because we know any plan that God has for us is greater and is for our glory and good and for the glory and good of God. And it's greater than anything we can imagine for ourselves. C.S. Lewis, a pretty smart guy, he said, "There are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'All right then, have it your way.'" You know which guy you want to be, right? Abram knew which was the path. It was the path that just said, "Listen, God has chosen me." Paul knew which was the path. It was the path that said, "Look, God has chosen me. I want to tell you today, before the foundation of the world began, God chose you in Christ Jesus. He chose you. And He chose an incredible purpose for your life. But like Abram, you got to be ready to jump. You got to be ready to jump. How can you make the jump? Well, you can make this jump because I can tell you, and the Bible tells us, You were made for this jump. You were made for this purpose. That when God was creating the purpose for Abram, He was also equipping Abram with everything and shaping Abraham with everything and bringing into Abraham everything that Abraham would need to accomplish this purpose. When God creates this purpose for us, He doesn't create it without also creating us according to the purpose. Jump because you were made for it. Here's what Psalm 138 says. You, Lord, will always treat me with kindness. Your love never fails. You made us what we are. Don't give up on us now. He doesn't. He doesn't give up on us because He knows what we were made for. He made us. And He made us for this purpose. If you go to Psalm 139, the next one, it says, nothing about me is hidden from you. I was secretly woven together deep in the earth below. But with your own eyes you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do. You see that? God has made you for the purpose. God knows what you can be about. He knows what your life can accomplish. And He's made you for that purpose. You see, we often focus on the wrong thing. We focus on what we think, on what we want, on what our agenda is. And the right thing is to remind ourselves, look, God chose us. And He chose us for a purpose, and He made us for that purpose. See, God is not concerned about where your life has been. He forgives that. What He's concerned about is, where is your life going? What are you jumping into in your days? And you have what you need to jump into the purposes that God has for you. You say, well, that's really hard. I may get that in my head, but that's really hard. How can I bring myself to do that? If for no other reason, jump. Jump because God makes a promise over your life. Jump because God makes a promise. Did you hear the promise that God made to Abram when He invited him to jump? If you didn't, let's go visit it again. Now listen to what God promises Abraham. You ready? If Abram makes the jump, look what God says. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. Is this good? Sounds pretty great to me. You will become famous and be a blessing to others. Is this a good thing? So far, good. I will bless anyone who blesses you. Well, I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. And everyone on the earth will be blessed because of you. Good thing? Did you see that promise? That God came to Abram, invited him to jump, and He invited him to jump right into this incredible promise that God put on his life. And God put that promise onto Abraham, and that promise is a promise that He has made to every descendant of Abraham. And if it's made to every descendant of Abraham, and if you're in Christ Jesus, it means it's made to you. God's made you this promise. We can jump because we're people of that same promise. We can jump because we know God has made those promises, and God always fulfills His promises, and God can do more than we either think or imagine. We've seen the witness of that in Christ. I want to read to you an experience from the Scripture with Peter. It comes out of Matthew 14. You probably all know the story already, but take it in one more time. It's a long story, so sit back, get comfortable. You can close your eyes and just picture what this was like on that particular day. But put yourself into Peter's shoes in this experience. You ready? And if you want to follow along, it's in your message notes, by the way, so you can just follow along and make any notes you want, but just listen. It says, right away, Jesus made His disciples get into a boat and start back across the lake, but He stayed until He sent the crowds away. Then He went up on a mountain where He could be alone and pray. Later that evening, He was still there. By this time, the boat was a long way from the shore. It was going against the wind and was being tossed around by the waves. A little while before morning, Jesus came walking on the water toward His disciples. When they saw Him, they thought He was a ghost, and they were terrified and started screaming. At once, Jesus said to them, Don't worry. I'm Jesus. Don't be afraid. Peter replied, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come on, Jesus said. Peter then got out of the boat and started walking on the water toward him. But when Peter saw how strong the wind was, he was afraid and started sinking. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Right away, Jesus reached out his hand. He helped Peter up and said, you surely don't have much faith. Why do you doubt? When Jesus and Peter got into the boat, the wind died down. The men in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, you really are the Son of God. Jesus and his disciples crossed over the lake, and they came to the shore near the town of the Gennesaret. And the people found out that he was there, and they spread the word to everyone who lived in that part of the country. And so they brought all the sick people to Jesus, and they begged him just to let them touch his clothes. And everyone who did was healed. Is that an awesome story? Did you put yourselves in Peter's shoes? How could Peter, now remember Peter, we're talking about Peter here. Was he the epitome of the perfect disciple? Absolutely not, right? He's the guy that denied Jesus. He's the guy that said, no, no, you can't do that. You can't do what God wants you to do, Jesus. Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. And yet, when this time came, Peter's the one that steps out. How could Peter take that step to step out of the boat in the midst of the storm? What chapter in Matthew are we in? Did you notice? We're in chapter 14. You know what that means, right? That means there's already been 13 chapters, correct? You know what's been happening in those 13 chapters? Peter has been walking with Jesus. And Peter has been watching and listening to Jesus. Peter has seen Jesus turn water into wine. Peter has seen Jesus cast out demons. Peter has watched Jesus as he's healed the sick. Peter has been there when Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Peter just got done filling his stomach with bread from Jesus who fed 5,000 people in one time. And just before this, Peter has been sitting with everybody else beside the lake and listening to the promises that Jesus makes over life. How could Peter step out of the boat? If nothing else, in that very moment, let us not forget what Jesus was doing. He was walking on water. Pretty cool? You see, we can step out of the boat. We can jump into the purpose that God has for us. We can jump. Why? Because God has made promises over our life, and we've seen it. We know it. We've seen Him do incredible things in Jesus Christ. We can jump into this purpose that He has for us because we know God always fulfills His promises. We can jump because Jesus has shown us God is good for it. He will accomplish His purpose. Pastor Wayne Cadero wrote a book called Dream Releasers, and let me just quote a portion of it. Just take this in. He says, the richest place on earth is not the diamond mines in South Africa or the gold caches in Ecuador. It's not the oil fields of Saudi Arabia or the uranium excavations of the Balkans. Neither is it the mineral deposits of the Dead Sea. No. The richest plot of land on this planet is in your very own neighborhood. You might even have passed by it this morning. It's the cemetery. That's right. The graveyard is the wealthiest place in all creation. Beneath those rectangular pieces of sod lie countless unsung melodies and unwritten poems. The grassy plots overflow with brilliant ideas that could have transformed entire communities, rehabilitated the lost, and borne hope to the weary. Our burial grounds reek with unattained successes and unrealized dreams. And we can add unaccomplished God purposes. We can jump into the purpose God has for us because we know God can accomplish it because He chose us in Christ Jesus. That's the final point. Final core value. Final foundational truth that's on our sign out in front. It all begins and it all ends with jumping into Christ Jesus. We jump because Jesus is at the center of the life. When he invited Peter to take that step out, did you notice what happened in that brief dialogue they had? Jesus is walking on the water. They're all afraid. Look at the words that Jesus gives to the disciples and to Peter. At once, Jesus said to them, "Don't worry, what? I am Jesus," followed by, "Don't be afraid." Is that awesome? He's couching bookends. He's saying, look, don't worry, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm in the center. What's really awesome about this? What Jesus says here, the I am Jesus, I am. Those are the same words that God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. When God came to Moses and said, Moses, I have a great purpose for your life. I have chosen you to go down and stand against the powers of this world in Pharaoh and to set my people free and bring them to the promised land. And Moses says, I don't think I'm qualified. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I got that. And God says, Moses, you can do it. Why? Because I am. You see it? Jesus is saying the very same thing to Peter, and he's saying the very same thing to each one of us today. You can jump into God's purpose for your life because it starts with Jesus. It is the biggest and only necessary jump you must make in your life. It is to say, from now on, my life belongs to Jesus Christ. That he is the Lord and the center of my life. It is taking that fundamental jump that says, I receive Christ and I set my old life aside and I know he has chosen me and I live for Christ. I live for what he wants in my life. Proverbs 3 says, with all your heart you must trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Always let him lead you and he will clear the road for you to follow. You see, that is the jump that it starts with. It starts with the jump that's saying Jesus is the Lord of life. And you receive his grace, and you receive his forgiveness, and you receive his promise, and you receive his power, and you receive his purpose. And you live life for Christ. And he invites you, just like God invited Abram, to take that simple jump. And when you take the jump, he promises you, it is the best thing you can ever do in your life. It is the best thing you can ever receive in your life. It comes out of Matthew 11. Peter had heard these words before he took his step. Remember Matthew 14? In Matthew 11, Jesus said, my Father has given me everything, and he is the only one who knows the Son. The only one who truly knows the Father is the Son. But the Son wants to tell others about the Father so that they can know him too. Now look at verse 28. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, if your life isn't everything it ought to be, if your life is not going in the direction it needs to go, if your life is overwhelming and burdensome, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke that I give you. Take on God's purposes in your life. Take on what God has dreamed for you from the beginning of time. Put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you'll find rest. This yoke is easy to bear, and this burden is light. Over these next 4 weeks, I want you to just get ready to jump. Just jump. If you haven't received Christ into your life yet, give him 4 weeks, okay? Just give him 4 weeks. Give him 4 weeks to prove to you that he is the most incredible person that ever entered the earth, that he is the most powerful person that you could ever know in your life, and that he has something more from you than you could ever dream for yourself. Take the jump and receive Christ. Next thing I ask of you is over this next week, I want each one of you to take home those message notes and every day this week, read the experience of Peter stepping out of that boat. just once a day, you can find time to do that, can't you? Just once a day now, I want you to just read the experience of Peter jumping out of that boat and see how many times God is going to say to you in the midst of your day, jump, jump, jump into this, jump into what I've prepared for you to do. Let's pray. Father, we pray over these weeks. We ask that they would just be an awesome time for you, not for us, but an awesome time for you to work in our hearts and in our lives, and today especially, we just ask that we could take the first jump, that we could just receive Christ in all his fullness today, that as we come to the table this morning and we receive bread and wine, that it's even more, that it is that person of Jesus, that we take him into ourselves and we turn ourselves over to him and we let him be the Lord and the director of our days and our deeds, our words and our thoughts, our ambitions and our dreams. Help us to live for him and not for ourselves. Bring us to that place and that time in this moment where we jump into everything you want for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In there and let them have their own experience as they grow and learn. Or, obviously, we don't care. You can keep them in here, too. Glad they're here. That's what counts. All right. Well, by now you've gotten the idea. We're starting a new message series, right? Yeah, and it's called Jump. That's right. We're just jumping. And it fits where we are in time. You know, we're jumping into a new year. 2010 is upon us. And so it's time for us to just pause for a minute as we go into the new year and think about what is our life about in Christ. I mean, where are we headed here? And so what we're going to do over this series is just encourage you to look at your life. And obviously, we're going to encourage you to take a jump, just to take that incredible jump. And as we do that, we're making some original assumptions. And those assumptions are things like we assume that there's probably some folks in the room who are just not satisfied with life right now. It's not everything that they think it ought to be. And just know there's got to be something more. Or that there's folks that are in the room who look at their own life and feel that they're just in that proverbial rut, you know. It's just same old, same old. And as well, are questioning and wondering if life shouldn't be something more. And at the minimum, we assume that everybody is probably asking that question. And asking the question is my life everything that it's supposed to be? Is this what it's about? And we're going to try to offer you over these 4 weeks the opportunity to jump into a life that God has for you. So let's begin with the jump, right? And what you're also going to hear, by the way, is also some things that are for Christ Church. These kind of speak to our core values about what we're about here as a congregation. So the first one, you can even read it on our sign, right? It's Christ Church, and underneath it says, you read the sign? Bringing purpose to life. Thank you. Some of you guys read the sign. Thanks. I worked really hard on, geez, what word should we put on that sign so they read that and they get it? And yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's Christ Church bringing purpose to life. Well, that's because that's part of our core values, right? And we just really believe this. It's the first jump. It's just to jump and to jump on purpose. And you jump because. You jump because you just know and you believe that God has a purpose for your life. You jump because you just believe. You know. You've received that truth into your life and you understand that God has something in store for your life. I can take you to the experience of Abram, and you can see how that plays out in one individual's life. It goes back to Genesis 12, and there's some important things for us to grab from this experience. It goes back to Genesis 12, and it says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your family, your relatives, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. You'll become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you, but I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave the city of Haran. He obeyed, and he left with his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions and slaves that they had gotten while in Haran. Now, there's some important things to understand here. First of all, notice that God just simply comes to Abram. He just comes to Abram, and he is offering Abram the opportunity to just jump, right? He's just coming to Abram, and he's saying, Abram, look, here's the deal. I'm just offering you this opportunity to jump into a whole new life. And it's the life that I have dreamed and determined for you. Now, it's important for us to get from this. Notice that God did not come to Abram and interview him. He didn't come to Abram and say, now, Abram, before we make this covenant with one another, let's go over a few lists of things. You know, let's look at the list of your potentials and your possibilities as you see them. Or let's go over a list of being honest with each other and looking at all your frailties and your faults. Let's go over and see if you qualify somehow, according to some list somewhere, of whether you could possibly follow into what I have in store for you. That's absent, correct? All God does is he comes to Abram and he says, Abram, it's time to jump. Abram, it's time for you to take a step in your life into the purpose that I have for you. I have a future for you, Abram. And all you have to do is take that step and take that jump into the purpose and the future that I have for you. Now, this is important also. Notice that God did not come to Abram and say, now, Abram, I know you got some great dreams and you got some great ambitions, and I know you got some great plans for yourself. So let me just come alongside you and just kind of partner with you, and together we'll accomplish whatever you want, Abram. That's not what he said. Am I correct? He said, Abram, here's the deal. You jump into what I want for you. Abram, you jump into what I have planned for you. Abram, you jump into the future and the purpose that I, the Lord God of heaven and earth, have determined before the foundations of time. This is what your life is about. Notice in the text, Abram is asked to leave behind something. Do you see that? He is asked to leave behind his country and his family and his relatives and go to the land that God will show him. What's Abram invited to? Not the dreams and ambitions that Abram had for himself. He is invited to the purpose that God has for him. You see that? And the only thing Abram has to do is just jump. Right? All he's got to do is just jump and obey. Just jump and follow what it is that God wants for his life. This happens to other people of the faith. The Apostle Paul, as we go into 1 Corinthians, he begins to try to clear up the distinction of jumping into what God wants for your life. Here's what he says to the Corinthians. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. What's Paul telling us? God has a plan, a purpose for your life. And that plan and purpose is in the mysteries of God. It's not in you. That plan and purpose is greater than anything that you can imagine for yourself. It is far beyond any ambition that you could create for yourself. It is a plan and a purpose that God simply invites you to jump into. His plan and his purpose for your life. Paul says to the Ephesians, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to what? His plan, not our plan. You see it? He makes everything work out according to his plan. You see that? You see, we can jump. Abraham is invited to jump. Paul is invited to jump. They're invited to jump into the plan that God has for them. And we can jump because we know any plan that God has for us is greater and is for our glory and good and for the glory and good of God. And it's greater than anything we can imagine for ourselves. C.S. Lewis, a pretty smart guy, he said, there are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. You know which guy you want to be, right? Abram knew which was the path. It was the path that just said, listen, God has chosen me. Paul knew which was the path. It was the path that said, look, God has chosen me. I want to tell you today, before the foundation of the world began, God chose you in Christ Jesus. He chose you. And He chose an incredible purpose for your life. But like Abram, you got to be ready to jump. You got to be ready to jump. How can you make the jump? Well, you can make this jump because I can tell you, and the Bible tells us, you were made for this jump. You were made for this purpose. That when God was creating the purpose for Abram, He was also equipping Abram with everything and shaping Abraham with everything and bringing into Abraham everything that Abraham would need to accomplish this purpose. When God creates this purpose for us, He doesn't create it without also creating us according to the purpose. Jump because you were made for it. Here's what Psalm 138 says. You, Lord, will always treat me with kindness. Your love never fails. You made us what we are. Don't give up on us now. He doesn't. He doesn't give up on us because He knows what we were made for. He made us. And He made us for this purpose. If you go to Psalm 139, the next one, it says, nothing about me is hidden from you. I was secretly woven together deep in the earth below. But with your own eyes you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do. You see that? God has made you for the purpose. God knows what you can be about. He knows what your life can accomplish. And He's made you for that purpose. You see, we often focus on the wrong thing. We focus on what we think, on what we want, on what our agenda is. And the right thing is to remind ourselves, look, God chose us. And He chose us for a purpose, and He made us for that purpose. See, God is not concerned about where your life has been. He forgives that. What He's concerned about is, where is your life going? What are you jumping into in your days? And you have what you need to jump into the purposes that God has for you. You say, well, that's really hard. I may get that in my head, but that's really hard. How can I bring myself to do that? If for no other reason, jump. Jump because God makes a promise over your life. Jump because God makes a promise. Did you hear the promise that God made to Abram when He invited him to jump? If you didn't, let's go visit it again. Now listen to what God promises Abraham. You ready? If Abram makes the jump, look what God says. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. Is this good? Sounds pretty great to me. You will become famous and be a blessing to others. Is this a good thing? So far, good. I will bless anyone who blesses you. Well, I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. And everyone on the earth will be blessed because of you. Good thing? Did you see that promise? That God came to Abram, invited him to jump. And He invited him to jump right into this incredible promise that God put on his life. And God put that promise onto Abraham. And that promise is a promise that He has made to every descendant of Abraham. And if it's made to every descendant of Abraham, and if you're in Christ Jesus, it means it's made to you. God's made you this promise. We can jump because we're people of that same promise. We can jump because we know God has made those promises, and God always fulfills His promises, and God can do more than we either think or imagine. We've seen the witness of that in Christ. I want to read to you an experience from the Scripture with Peter. It comes out of Matthew 14. You probably all know the story already, but take it in one more time. It's a long story, so sit back, get comfortable. You can close your eyes and just picture what this was like on that particular day. But put yourself into Peter's shoes in this experience. You ready? And if you want to follow along, it's in your message notes, by the way, so you can just follow along and make any notes you want, but just listen. It says, right away, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and start back across the lake, but he stayed until he sent the crowds away. Then he went up on a mountain where he could be alone and pray. Later that evening, he was still there. By this time, the boat was a long way from the shore. It was going against the wind and was being tossed around by the waves. A little while before morning, Jesus came walking on the water toward his disciples. When they saw him, they thought he was a ghost, and they were terrified and started screaming. At once, Jesus said to them, "Don't worry, I'm Jesus. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come on," Jesus said. Peter then got out of the boat and started walking on the water toward him. But when Peter saw how strong the wind was, he was afraid and started sinking. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Right away, Jesus reached out his hand. He helped Peter up and said, "You surely don't have much faith. Why do you doubt?" When Jesus and Peter got into the boat, the wind died down. The men in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You really are the Son of God." Jesus and his disciples crossed over the lake, and they came to the shore near the town of the Gennesaret. And the people found out that he was there, and they spread the word to everyone who lived in that part of the country. And so they brought all the sick people to Jesus, and they begged him just to let them touch his clothes. And everyone who did was healed. Is that an awesome story? Did you put yourselves in Peter's shoes? How could Peter, now remember Peter, we're talking about Peter here. Was he the epitome of the perfect disciple? Absolutely not, right? He's the guy that denied Jesus. He's the guy that said, "No, no, you can't do that. You can't do what God wants you to do, Jesus." Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. And yet, when this time came, Peter's the one that steps out. How could Peter take that step to step out of the boat in the midst of the storm? What chapter in Matthew are we in? Did you notice? We're in chapter 14. You know what that means, right? That means there's already been 13 chapters, correct? You know what's been happening in those 13 chapters? Peter has been walking with Jesus. And Peter has been watching and listening to Jesus. Peter has seen Jesus turn water into wine. Peter has seen Jesus cast out demons. Peter has watched Jesus as he's healed the sick. Peter has been there when Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Peter just got done filling his stomach with bread from Jesus who fed 5,000 people in one time. And just before this, Peter has been sitting with everybody else beside the lake and listening to the promises that Jesus makes over life. How could Peter step out of the boat? If nothing else, in that very moment, let us not forget what Jesus was doing. He was walking on water. Pretty cool? You see, we can step out of the boat. We can jump into the purpose that God has for us. We can jump. Why? Because God has made promises over our life, and we've seen it. We know it. We've seen Him do incredible things in Jesus Christ. We can jump into this purpose that He has for us because we know God always fulfills His promises. We can jump because Jesus has shown us God is good for it. He will accomplish His purpose. Pastor Wayne Cadero wrote a book called Dream Releasers, and let me just quote a portion of it. It's just take this in. He says, "The richest place on earth is not the diamond mines in South Africa or the gold caches in Ecuador. It's not the oil fields of Saudi Arabia or the uranium excavations of the Balkans. Neither is it the mineral deposits of the Dead Sea. No. The richest plot of land on this planet is in your very own neighborhood. You might even have passed by it this morning. It's the cemetery. That's right. The graveyard is the wealthiest place in all creation. Beneath those rectangular pieces of sod lie countless unsung melodies and unwritten poems. The grassy plots overflow with brilliant ideas that could have transformed entire communities, rehabilitated the lost, and borne hope to the weary. Our burial grounds reek with unattained successes and unrealized dreams. And we can add unaccomplished God purposes. We can jump into the purpose God has for us because we know God can accomplish it because He chose us in Christ Jesus." That's the final point, final core value, final foundational truth that's on our sign out in front. It all begins and it all ends with jumping into Christ Jesus. We jump because Jesus is at the center of the life. When He invited Peter to take that step out, did you notice what happened in that brief dialogue they had? Jesus is walking on the water. They're all afraid. Look at the words that Jesus gives to the disciples and to Peter. "At once Jesus said to them, 'Don't worry,'" what? "I am Jesus," followed by, "Don't be afraid." Is that awesome? He's couching bookends. He's saying, look, don't worry, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm in the center. What's really awesome about this? What Jesus says here, the I am Jesus, I am. Those are the same words that God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. When God came to Moses and said, "Moses, I have a great purpose for your life. I have chosen you to go down and stand against the powers of this world in Pharaoh and to set my people free and bring them to the promised land." And Moses says, "I don't think I'm qualified. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I got that." And God says, "Moses, you can do it." Why? "Because I am." You see it? Jesus is saying the very same thing to Peter, and He's saying the very same thing to each one of us today. You can jump into God's purpose for your life because it starts with Jesus. It is the biggest and only necessary jump you must make in your life. It is to say, from now on, my life belongs to Jesus Christ. That He is the Lord and the center of my life. It is taking that fundamental jump that says, I receive Christ and I set my old life aside and I know He has chosen me and I live for Christ. I live for what He wants in my life. Proverbs 3 says, "With all your heart you must trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Always let Him lead you and He will clear the road for you to follow." You see, that is the jump that it starts with. It starts with the jump that's saying Jesus is the Lord of life. And you receive His grace, and you receive His forgiveness, and you receive His promise, and you receive His power, and you receive His purpose. And you live life for Christ. And He invites you, just like God invited Abram, to take that simple jump. And when you take the jump, He promises you, it is the best thing you can ever do in your life. It is the best thing you can ever receive in your life. It comes out of Matthew 11. Peter had heard these words before he took his step. Remember Matthew 14? In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "My Father has given me everything, and He is the only one who knows the Son. The only one who truly knows the Father is the Son. But the Son wants to tell others about the Father so that they can know Him too. Now look at verse 28. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, if your life isn't everything it ought to be, if your life is not going in the direction it needs to go, if your life is overwhelming and burdensome, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke that I give you. Take on God's purposes in your life. Take on what God has dreamed for you from the beginning of time. Put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you'll find rest. This yoke is easy to bear, and this burden is light. Over these next 4 weeks, I want you to just get ready to jump. Just jump. If you haven't received Christ into your life yet, give Him 4 weeks, okay? Just give Him 4 weeks. Give Him 4 weeks to prove to you that He is the most incredible person that ever entered the earth, that He is the most powerful person that you could ever know in your life, and that He has something more from you than you could ever dream for yourself. Take the jump and receive Christ. Next thing I ask of you is, over this next week, I want each one of you to take home those message notes, and every day this week, read the experience of Peter stepping out of that boat. Just once a day, you can find time to do that, can't you? Just once a day now, I want you to just read the experience of Peter jumping out of that boat and see how many times God is going to say to you in the midst of your day, jump, jump, jump into this, jump into what I've prepared for you to do. Let's pray. Father, we pray over these weeks. We ask that they would just be an awesome time for you, not for us, but an awesome time for you to work in our hearts and in our lives, and today especially, we just ask that we could take the first jump, that we could just receive Christ in all His fullness today. That as we come to the table this morning and we receive bread and wine, that it's even more. That it is that person of Jesus. That we take Him into ourselves and we turn ourselves over to Him and we let Him be the Lord and the director of our days and our deeds, our words and our thoughts, our ambitions and our dreams. Help us to live for Him and not for ourselves. Bring us to that place and that time in this moment where we jump into everything You want for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.